Hi, my name is Ron Kalos. I'm an oral and maxillofacial surgeon in Jackson, Mississippi. I would like to share with you how CMDA has been a meaningful part of my life. As a dental student at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio, I was drawn to participate in a number of CMDA short-term mission trips to towns in Mexico along the Texas border. It brought great joy to care for those with a physical need as a segue to sharing the gospel. This experience sparked my calling to be involved in a number of short-term mission trips throughout my career. CMDA has had a major impact on my marriage. At the end of 10 years of professional school and residency, my wife Lisa and I found our marriage in shambles. It was clearly on life support. God directed me to various resources, including those at CMDA, that encouraged me in seeking His will. One thing we did was attend a CMDA's couples conference to help us reconnect. My faith in Christ became more real during this time in my life. Our marriage was restored. Through this, I gained a newfound desire to connect with CMDA. Eventually, I found myself on faculty at the School of Dentistry at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. This provided a ministry opportunity with CMDA in our local chapter at the Medical Center in Jackson. Lisa and I have had the opportunity to mentor medical and dental students and their spouses in a couple's Bible study. It was a blessing to share our experience as a couple with those students who were facing some of the same challenges we did. We are encouraged to see how CMDA not only impacts students, but impacts each of us. Thank you for this opportunity to share how CMDA has impacted my life. God bless.
You are listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and I'm so pleased to introduce you today to the newest member of our senior leadership team, a team that is highly dedicated to educating, encouraging, and equipping Christian healthcare professionals to glorify our God. Our new staff leader is Reverend Burt Jones, whom those of you who attended the National Convention may remember was our Bible teacher. And he's joined today by Dr. Steve Sartori, who launched the CMDA Life and Leadership Coaching Ministry with the full support of our CEO Emeritus, Dr. David Stevens, back in 2014. With Pastor Burt joining our national team, we are committed to taking coaching and healthcare professional well-being to the next level of impact. And we are adding a focus on leadership and strengthening our support and partnership with the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States and beyond. I invite you now to listen in on my recent conversation with two dear men of God who care deeply about your flourishing as a follower of Christ in healthcare during times like these. Well, today I have an unusual privilege of not having one, but two guests here in the studio with me at CMDA. Dr. Steve Sartori, a family physician from Corbin, Kentucky, who's been on our board of trustees as the money man and secretary formally chosen. So that's a position of respect and trust. And I also have Pastor Burt Jones, who's been a friend now for several years and a former staff at CMDA. What were the years, Burt, when you were here?
I was here from about 2005 to 2007.
And then went on a journey of being a pastor, mm-hmm. a teaching pastor at least two churches.
Yeah, I left here and went to be the CEO of Go International, mm-hmm. an organization that Dave Stevens' father founded. So it was a mission organization, traveled a lot, and still stayed connected with the CMDA.
And then went on to pastor a church up in eventually in northern Indiana.
Woodburn, Indiana, where Woodburn you've been Missionary Church.
For 8 years, yeah. I believe. Mm-hmm. Fairly large church, mm-hmm. really. One of the larger churches, the Missionary Church, which is the church where I got saved and baptized. So I know about Indiana and the Missionary Church. Well, Steve, I was first introduced to your name. I had no picture. I knew you were from Corbin, Kentucky, because a mutual friend of ours about 24, 25 years ago, Sam Powdrell decided, a missionary, one of the most gifted technical healthcare professionals I've ever known, said, Mike, I was doing my electives during my physician assistant training, and I got to be placed in this family practice in Corbin, Kentucky with this Steve Sartori, who is the most amazing preceptor, taught me so much. That was at the beginning, and then more recently, another good missionary. This is like the tale of two missionaries for Steve Sartori. Another missionary friend, a mutual friend of ours, told me that you had coached him, and he was at a fork in the road, wasn't sure what to do. And you helped him through coaching, seasoned coach, help him make a decision. And now a year or two later, he said, it was just the best decision. Dr. Steve Sartori helped me make a great decision. I'm so happy in this decision back in clinical medicine. So welcome and thank you for serving CMDA in the coaching, a first coaching ministry, and now Center for Well-Being. Just give us a brief overview of 7 years of a ministry that probably 10, 15 years ago you had no idea was coming.
Thanks for that invitation, Mike. It's been an absolute joyful journey. It really has. You know, when I had an inflection point in life and leaving clinical practice and taking a sabbatical and discerning what to do, I was connected with Ken Jones, a coach for CMDA. And through that experience, I became absolutely convinced that we needed more of Ken Jones, or at least more of the coaching to help doctors as they navigate transitions and move into leadership and make challenging decisions about their family and their professional lives. And so I came to CMDA actually invited to take a staff position. It was one of my options. And I looked at Dave Stevens and I said, Dave, thanks for the offer. I don't want the job. I said, but if you created a position that would amplify coaching across CMDA, I would take that job today. He said, okay. I mean, no further conversation. He said, I'll give you some seed money. Let's get going. So we started formalizing the coaching ministry that Ken had been doing informally for years. That was the liftoff point. And then the next several years, building a team, working with wonderful people. And then gradually over the next 4 years, we decided and learned from our experience that well-being and burnout and the challenges of the demands of a professional physician life were overwhelming so many. Not just do you read about it in the medical journals, but within our own organization. So we then created the Center for Well-Being, hoping to expand our footprint not only to coaching, but to some other opportunities to step into the well-being space. So that was 2018, and now here we are 3 years later. I kind of look at it as infancy being the first 4 years, adolescence the next three, and now with Bert coming on board, I'm looking forward to really moving into adulthood with the Center for Well-Being.
Young adults together.
Yes.
So where is this Center for Well-Being? I get asked that sometimes, Steve.
Where is it? I mean, what are you looking for? A geographic location? I mean, it's an entity. It's a concept. It's a way that we bring things together to help facilitate growth and well-being, development, especially at the spiritual core for our members, to help them grow in their relationship with Jesus, because we all know that well-being is absolutely rooted in the way we view the world, in our mindset, in the way we look at ourselves. And from a Christian worldview, when we look at how God made us and prepared us for what we do, and that what did He have in mind when He made each of us? It may have been being a doctor, of course, that's what we do, but who we are is so much more important. So the Center of Well-Being helps us to recall that which is most important, most fundamental, most foundational of our existence, not what we accomplish through medicine, but who we are in Christ. And then He does good things through us, and it's a wonderful thing.
About a year ago, I remember, I think it was May, as the COVID pandemic was taking off, physicians, other nurses, there were some deaths across the country among healthcare professionals because of COVID. We began to think about how could we come along as CMDA to support members and others who were volunteering because of the stresses involved, as if burnout wasn't already bad enough, then came COVID-19. And so in June, I think we did some surveys. What is it that you learned and the rest of your team learned about Christians and healthcare in terms of the COVID crisis and burnout versus those who are not of faith? What do you think we learned then?
We participated with a survey and gathered some data, actually, which allowed us to analyze the importance of faith. And we realized that during times of crisis or challenge, Faith often is amplified. People look to God. Those who don't believe tend to look for God. Those who do believe tend to look more intently at God. We heard from Philip Yancey at the National Convention about how we tune up our hearing aids. We turn them up and we listen to God more when times are tough. That's what happened. And so in many ways, a crisis can also be an opportunity. It can be an opportunity for us to absolutely grow in our faith. So I think that our organization, in a strange sort of way, Mike, benefited. I think it brought us closer together. Even though we were apart physically, it brought us closer together in trusting God. I think Christians tend to rise to the occasion when they're called to do things in difficulty and crisis. I mean, Christians are the ones that historically have shown up during the bubonic plague. They've shown up during times of pandemics. And once again, I really believe our organization and its members stepped into the fray. They were not afraid. They were not afraid. They got out there and they did the work that needed to be done. And we heard testimonies of that even at our national convention. So it's been a difficult and yet positive thing.
And so it's not a surprise to you. I think we saw that while overall well-being may have gone down a little bit in that category of spiritual well-being, I mean, it wasn't just a few stories here and there. It was actually statistically relevant that spiritual well-being was going up.
Indeed. Absolutely.
So how have in the past our members, Christians in healthcare, gotten involved in the Center for Well-Being, and how do you see them continuing and maybe increasing their involvement, whether it's coaching or OASIS kinds of meetings, or how do you see the future for the Center for Well-Being?
You know, I think we're going to continue to build on the touch points that we have with our members. And over the 7 years, you know, we've built touch points among a variety of mechanisms, and we've developed probably, I'd say close to 2,000 touch points with our members. By that, I mean they've either been coached, they've been trained in coaching, they've participated in one of our webinars or perhaps the retreat we hosted in St. Louis. We were the speakers at the West Coast Conference. So they're hearing things. They're hearing content regarding the subject of well-being. They're being coached, so they actually learn to apply experientially in real time in their own lives at a personal, targeted level how to practice concepts of well-being. And they're learning how to help others, which is one of the most exciting pieces for me, is that we're discipling, we're duplicating our efforts, we're multiplying our efforts. We're helping people help others. And so we have probably 200 people out there who have been trained in some of the basic skills of listening and providing peer support, asking good questions, being present with someone. Community is so important. Your well-being depends on the quality of your relationships with God and with others and with yourself.
Well, as you know, Steve, I was one of your students here earlier this year. Finally got to set aside Monday evenings, I think it was, and I went through the coaching class. And I think what I heard from you and Ann Sen and Ken Jones, all three of the teachers, was that the COVID crisis turned out to be an open door in which you realized that this was a great tool and avenue. Zoom was actually a much better opportunity to do coaching training, and that maybe people would be even more avail themselves to this training because of Zoom.
Yeah, it was one of the best things that happened to us. We could have never imagined. But, you know, when you host a conference on site, there's a lot of logistics and challenges, and people can't come because of their schedules or call. But when you host a longitudinal evening course over 6 weeks, it's amazing. Suddenly, you open the world up to anyone. In fact, we did one internationally. We trained 16 international physician leaders around the same time you were taking class. We were doing two classes concurrently, and it was a hoot. We just really enjoyed it. So it did open the door for more people to participate in the training. And we've also discovered that training, when you do it sort of in a bolus form or really feeding people a lot in a hurry, tends to get lost, you know, fast in, fast out oftentimes. But when you drip it in over a period of time, it tends to stick better when you reinforce it week after week after week. So we've actually come to be convinced that the longitudinal 2-hour little stints on Zoom have worked better for the learning for our students and our learners. It's been a good experience.
Well, I shall not forget the acronym GROW. That's the acronym that I learned from the class. You know, what are your goals? What's the current reality? What are the obstacles or opportunities? And then finally, you know, what's the win? You know, where are we going from here? Mm-hmm. Very, very simple, but very powerful.
Simple models are very helpful. We love teaching models of how frameworks can help us think through issues when we're having conversations. And even that coach model where we know, what's the structure of a coaching conversation? I was talking to Bert about that yesterday. In fact, we were playing around with it a little bit. What does it look like to go through a really purposeful, meaningful conversation that produces something at the end of it? It's intentional.
Well, let's segue here from where we are now. And, you know, for a couple of years, you've been threatening it's time to hang up my leadership shingle and just focus on coaching or something else, Mike. How about a new leader? And so we've prayed and talked, and your wife, Chris, has been very patient as we've worked through this. And then onto the radar came Pastor Bert Jones. And many of our listeners will recognize Bert Jones, if not from the most recent national convention as our Bible teacher, but also from the past. He has done governance training for our Board of Trustees in the past, at least once, maybe more than that. And his name is on the front cover of a couple of books that have been written, co-written with Dave Stevens. So welcome to CMDA Matters. I have a feeling this is the beginning of a journey together, Bert.
I'm very excited about the opportunity to be here and to serve and to be a part of this great team.
So we've given you the title, not Director of Center for Wellbeing per se, but a Director of Leadership and Church Relations.
That's right.
Leadership has played a big role and interest of yours, hasn't it?
It's been a huge interest of mine. You know, I recognized years ago that leadership was the God factor that made a difference. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You looked at the history of the children of Israel. When there was a great leader, they did great things. They followed God. When there wasn't a great leader, they things went south. God was consistent. When you have great, strong leaders, it makes a difference in an organization.
And I think I've heard that somewhere. I've attended a few global leadership summits, and they say when leaders get better, everybody gets, right. Everything gets better. But also this church relations, and just want our listeners to know, we've had now for a few years a church commission whose sole project has involved developing a bioethics curriculum for lay people in the church, possibly led by healthcare professionals. And that commission now, just recently, the board approved it to come in-house as an advisory council to you. So how do you see that going for the future?
Well, I think that CMDA has a tremendous ministry. And as you look at having been a pastor, you know, our members, our doctors, are leaders in churches. They play a significant role. They're on elder boards, they're on deacon boards, they're on leadership teams, they teach Sunday school. And when I was here before and launched the Leadership and Church Relations Ministries department here at CMDA, I began to notice, okay, how do we engage these leaders into their local churches? And how do you take this great ministry like CMDA and impact the local church? There's a lot of ways that we can interface with things that pastors are struggling with, churches are struggling with, and become a resource. And so I think the Bridging the Gap curriculum will be a tremendous way to kind of intersect faith and theology and science and the expertise of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
So when I've heard a number of people here in Bristol Tri-Cities area talk about Pastor Bert Jones from the past, they say there was this massive pastors conference, probably the biggest ever, that happened here at headquarters.
Right.
How did that come about?
Well, again, we're just trying to connect with pastors and leaders and kind of share the ministry, the resources that are available here through the CMDA. As it's been said to me several times, I think that the CMDA resource to the local church is really one of the best kept secrets, and as well as the Center for Wellbeing. There's so many great ministries here that a lot of people aren't engaging in or are fully taking advantage of. And so our goal was to kind of connect with pastors and tell them the resources that we had available at their disposal. And we had up to about 150 people that gathered together, pastors that came in locally, regionally, and some from out of state to be a part of that conference.
So those listening, whether physicians, dentists, or other healthcare professionals who are hearing maybe for the first time about this bioethics Bridging the Gap curriculum, as we're calling it, how can they get involved?
Well, we're in the process right now of with that commission now being advisory council, kind of doing some final refining on that project. It's the curriculum's written. We're trying to kind of get it out to leaders and our members. If they contact us here at the CMDA, we can get them access to that curriculum and give them some insight on how they can use it, some tips and things like that, as we continue to beta test it as it gets used in local churches.
Now, let's bring my two guests together here. So coaching isn't something necessarily, Bert, that has been a part of your past. And certainly, I was introduced in Greece, actually, Ken Jones. I sat under Ken Jones, and I'm like, wait a second, that's not coaching as I understand it. And I know maybe you've had some of the same response, Bert. So this coaching ministry, what do you think about it?
Well, as I said a moment ago, I think it's one of the best kept secrets in the CMDA. I have loved, for the last month or so, as I've been getting ready to transition, Dr. Steve has allowed me to sit in on some of their staff weekly staff meetings, and it has just been, I wish everyone at CMDA could have that opportunity just to sit in and listen to Ken and Ann and Steve as they talk, and some of this, the pearls and nuggets that just kind of come out of their conversations about coaching. So it's been very intriguing to me. It's been very interesting. I've learned as a pastor, as I look back over the last 33 years of full-time Christian ministry, that some of my favorite times have been not just counseling situations, but just taking leaders and trying to help invest in them. And the more I hear about this idea of coaching, well-being, how we can engage people to be healthy, healthy leaders lead healthy organizations. And if we don't have healthy leaders, then their organizations aren't going to be healthy. So it's a way we can help invest. Leadership is influence. And so I just love the idea of the Center for Well-Being investing in leaders of influence, influencers in our organization here at the Christian Medical and Dental Association, their local churches, their hospitals, everywhere.
Well, as we kind of wrap up this conversation today, I wanted to give an example. You know, when we think about coaching in the Center for Well-Being, at least when I started this 501 coaching class, was thinking, okay, this is about peer-to-peer. This is working with students, residents, and coaching them and so forth. But really, it applies in all the relationships in our lives. And so I was toward the end of the coaching class, Steve, and sitting at the dinner table, and my youngest daughter says, Dad, what's this coaching thing all about? And my wife said, yeah, honey, why don't you coach her? And I said, well, okay. Well, it just so happens she's just been frustrated with, she's finishing her first year of college. And she's been, Dad, I don't know what to do. So I said, okay, let's kick into the coaching mode. What have I learned? You know, what have they taught me? And so I started asking questions. And frankly, I know what I normally would have done before the coaching class. I normally would have started giving direction and instruction and guidance. Instead, using the coach approach model, I started asking some key questions, and lo and behold, a half an hour, she had decided that what she really wanted in life was to become an elementary school teacher, not a physical therapy assistant. And all of that was, frankly, I don't know if that would have been the outcome if I hadn't used a coach approach in the interaction with my youngest daughter, who's 19 now. And she's now on that path. All that came from my wife saying, yeah, show us how this works.
What a marvelous testimony. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Those kinds of stories just help to encourage us that people are using this. When you think of all the people who have had coach training, that kind of story is being reproduced at hundreds of households around our organization. That's delightful.
Well, anything else, Dr. Sartori or Pastor Bert Jones, that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think today, if you're listening to this and you're interested in the idea of coaching and maybe how you can have a conversation like with a friend or a loved one around your table, we have another coaching session coming up here in October. You can check out the website and sign up. We'd love to have you be a part of that coach approach ministry here at CMDA.
And I am just absolutely excited about Bert. We've been hanging out here for a while and learning from each other. Leaders are learners, okay? Leaders are learners. And I've noticed that Bert has a curiosity that's going to serve him well. When he sits in our meetings, he listens a lot. He's learning. And he asks me questions, good questions, all day long yesterday. And we had conversations. And I came away and I sent him an email last night. And I said, Bert, you said 7 things that are just going to stick with me. In fact, 8. I wanted to make it 7 because that was a better number. But it turned out to be 8. You got a bonus, you know, that there were 8 things that I just couldn't let go of. I said, these things excite me. You know, I'm excited about the future of the Center for Well-Being because Bert is getting it.
And you're not going very far. I don't know if I mentioned earlier, but Dr. Sartori is going to remain with our coaching team. Dr. Ann Sen and Pastor Ken Jones, who trained and mentored and coached Steve in the beginning, and then Steve Sartori. I want to thank you, Dr. Sartori, for 7 years of faithfulness at CMDA and for growing this ministry. It's self-sustaining, coaching is, and it just has been good leadership and good management of yours.
Well, I appreciate the encouragement. You know, the leadership at CMDA has continued to encourage this entire ministry. Dave Stevens got it started without even knowing anything about it, took a leap of faith. And then you picked it up and began to learn about it and grow it. So thanks for the support that you all have given to financially and spiritually and being mentors and encouragers. We just couldn't do this without the organizational support we have received.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a privilege and a joy. Thank you, Pastor Jones, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, whether it was Dr. Ron Kalos at the beginning with his intro, talked about mentoring and how important that was to him, or now you've heard from the coaching and well-being team, mentoring, discipleship, a huge part of why CMDA exists. I'm holding in my hand a book that is not a well-known resource at CMDA, but I think it should be. In fact, this book I have carried halfway around the world, both west and east, taking 20 or 25 copies to share with other national CMDA groups who just found this so helpful. And it's entitled Practice by the Book, A Christian Doctor's Guide to Living and Serving, written by Dr. Gene Rudd and Dr. Al Weir, together with many different contributors. If you would like a resource to help mentor, or coach, or study together with another Christian healthcare professional, I highly recommend this book, and you can find it cmda.org/store or call 888-230-2637. And one of our staff with a caring voice and response will get that in the mail to you right away. Well, I want to ask you, what does the process of evangelism in its various stages look like in a medical or dental setting? How can we all be used by God to cultivate, sow, reap, and multiply within the context of everyday patient care? Well, Dr. Jacob Gruhl, he's a physician and faculty member at the In His Image residency program in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He has insightful advice that any of us could implement the day after we hear it. And all you have to do to hear from Jacob is to check out Faith Prescriptions on the CMDA Learning Center. And we're praying that God will use this training program as a centerpiece in our CMDA efforts to help you integrate your faith every single day into your practice. And we believe that Faith Prescriptions will enhance your witness as a healthcare professional. The Bible tells a love story of God's pursuit of the church, culminating in the wedding feast in heaven when the bride of Christ is reunited with the Lord Jesus. Our very bodies tell this story of God's love for humanity and a desire for a personal relationship with every one of us. My guest last month, Dr. Christopher West, released his new book entitled Our Bodies Tell God's Story, which we've made our June Book of the Month. During the month of June, any donation that you make using the link in our show notes today will get you this book as a small thank you for your generosity. If you felt God's call to give to the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, now is a great time to answer that call. Just go to cmda.org/bookofthemonth, one word, Book of the Month, or click the link in our show notes today. I've asked Dr. Jeff Barrows, our Senior Vice President of Bioethics and Public Policy, to share with you today our Washington update.
CMDA has long advocated for religious freedom here in the United States. We are also concerned with the plight of our brothers and sisters in the faith living in other countries. People of faith, including millions of Christians, face discrimination and persecution in much of the world. We attend regular meetings with international religious freedom organizations, victims of persecution, and officials from the U.S. Department of State and the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Governments, hostile religious groups, and terrorists destroy places of worship, harass and intimidate people of minority religions, and inflict lethal violence on individuals simply for following their faith. For example, as recently reported in the Washington Times, quote, Chinese authorities have launched a crusade to keep Chinese Christians at home and away from churches and pastors. Thousands of churches have been either closed or demolished or transformed into offices. But the biggest anti-Christian campaign the Chinese Communist Party has launched relates to a literal ban on the Bible. Anyone carrying a Bible faces immediate arrest and a jail term. End quote. As we pray for and advocate for religious freedom here at home, let's also pray for and advocate for our brethren overseas who are experiencing persecution that sometimes threatens their very lives and families. To learn more, visit freedomtocare.org/international. You'll find the latest news, government reports, and legislation. Using our quick and easy action tools, you can advocate for legislation in less than a minute. That's freedomtocare.org/international. Freedom, the number 2, care.org/international.
Well, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know that we've had to cancel a number or even postpone so many of our excellent CMDA training programs. Well, one of these impactful programs is our Voice of Christian Doctors media training, which has now been rescheduled for August 6th and 7th, a Friday and a Saturday. If you have ever felt called to engage or speak out in your local media, especially concerning ethics or public policy issues, but you felt ill-equipped to represent a faithful Christian and biblical perspective in a professional manner, this workshop is for you. It's a 2-day training and is designed to train and equip participants to use the media as an educational tool and to sharpen skills as CMDA media representatives. Our culture needs to hear from Christian healthcare professionals more than ever, so I hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity in August. If you'd like more information about these events, just click on the link in our show notes today or go to cmda.org/events. You know, at CMDA Matters, we love getting your feedback, so let us know today what you think at the email communications@cmda.org. Or give us a thumbs up in your favorite podcast platform and subscribe if you like our weekly podcast. These kinds of positive ratings facilitate other healthcare professionals to find this program, CMDA Matters, in the near future. Flourishing as a healthcare professional who loves God with all of your heart and all of your soul and mind and strength, while growing your influence as a leader and ambassador for Christ, as Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5:20, these issues must matter most to you and to me, no matter where you are in your journey providing healthcare to the glory of God. And because it must matter to you, it matters to CMDA. And CMDA Matters. Have a great week, and I hope you'll join us next Thursday for my conversation with a CMDA physician mentor in the heart of San Francisco, as well as a medical student mentee of his who just graduated and turned into a pediatric resident mentee. And that mentee has felt God drawing him into service among the marginalized of Taiwan. These two followers of Christ figured out how to successfully navigate the challenges of the pandemic to spur one another on in a relationship to accomplish God's purposes in each one of their lives. We'll be focusing on the importance of mentoring within the healthcare community, which is a top priority in the new CMDA strategic plan. We'll catch you next week, Jehovah willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.